And we'll pray the Lord will open up the way when you return to the UK as well, Iris. It's good to know our times are in His hands, isn't it? Maybe it's just a sign of me aging, but I've been thinking about seasons a lot. But it's interesting, life is seasonal, isn't it? And I've found it very helpful to just recognise that the Lord does work in seasonal ways in our lives. He's constantly faithful, but there are different times in our lives, aren't there? And He knows what He's doing, and He's a great shepherd, He's a great gardener, great fisherman. In fact, He's multi-talented, yeah, a great healer, physician. Wonderful, our Lord is all in all, isn't He? He's all we need. And how good to recognise again this morning that He is alive and present with us, His people. Though we don't see Him, by faith we can reach out and touch Him. And as we were praying before, I was just so aware of the Lord urging us to reach out in faith. I often think, when we think about reaching out, how the Lord's able to call a man with a withered hand and ask him to reach out the withered hand. That's amazing, isn't it? And He does encourage us to reach out, but as we're reaching out to Him, and as that woman, do you remember the woman with the issue of blood, just in the crowd, wanted to do it ever so secretly, just reached out to touch the hem of His garment. As we're reaching out to Him, we see again and we realise, and all our reaching out is kind of put in the grand perspective of the fact that God has reached out His arm, His hand, to save us and touch our lives. And so in any of our reaching out, and He does, it's amazing, isn't it, that He encourages to do it, to actually take a step to reach out. Whatever it is that He challenges to do, we're to respond actively to His word. And as we do that, we realise that we're actually connecting with His great reach, His hand stretched out to save and work in our lives. How wonderful. It's good to be in His hands. When we were praying there, I just thought, Lord, Iris is in Your hands. And they're safe hands attached to strong arms. Wonderful. So, it's been an interesting morning, hasn't it? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Sorry, that was a very British understatement, wasn't it? Interesting. Wonderful. Really wonderful. And let's continue to look to the Lord and be open. I sense that the Lord is, well, He's always flowing, isn't He? But He's wanting to flow freely among us by His Spirit. And pray for anyone who is speaking. Pray that the word would flow and that the Lord would accomplish what He intends. You might not be surprised. I'm going to ask you to turn to Colossians, if that's okay. We're nearly there. Colossians chapter 3. The plan is, after today, a couple more, and then I'll have finished what I set out to do a few years back. Well, it's about 18 months, I think. Isn't the word rich? Isn't the word of God so rich? I love it. I feel like sometimes when we study His word, it's like we go mining for precious stones, gems, whatever picture you want to use. But it's the Lord encourages to dig into His word together, and He gives us treasure. Wonderful, and we were reminded He is the Word. Let's just read, shall we? I'd like to read just chapter 3, Sorry if you weren't here the last time, I'll try and make a link, but let's just read from verse 17 of chapter 3 and down to verse 1 of chapter 4, if that's okay. And we'll see how we get on. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke, I think that can be rendered exasperate. So do not exasperate your children, lest they become discouraged or lest they lose heart. That's the phrase there. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. I'm going to continue just the next few verses, but it's interesting that you notice verse 17 and verse 23. I hope you notice it. That whatever you do is supposed to grab our attention. It's almost like a, bookends, if you like. So whatever you do, do it heartily. That is, work at it with all your heart, or work at it wholeheartedly. It's interesting, isn't it? Especially when you apply it to your job. It's whatever you do. That's I love these words. They don't let us escape. Whatever. All. Those kind of words. Okay, so do work at it wholeheartedly, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. I like the fact that the Lord's into rewards. He understands. We'll look, perhaps if we have time, we'll have a little look at it. But he understands that motivation in some context is linked to the idea of reward. We're finding that, aren't we? I won't go into too many personal details, but training children in the way that they should go, it's remarkable how a reward can have an effect. I would like it just to be the power of my voice, you know. But it's amazing how a sticker can override just the simple power of my voice. Anyway, I'll stop there. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. That is some reward, by the way. And when you think in the context here, talking of bondservants in that culture and that society, bondservants didn't get anything. They didn't have rights or anything. And here the Lord is saying, live in such a way, I'm your master. But guess what? You're not just going to get... He exhorts the masters to be just. The Christian ones, in that context, he says you should be just and fair, which was quite revolutionary in the context. But the Lord is actually saying, guess what, all of you? I'm going to reward you with the inheritance of God. You, apply it, everyone, you who don't deserve a thing are going to be rewarded with the inheritance of God. That's a rich theme, isn't it? Go back to the mining picture. We've struck a vein of wonderful richness there if you look into inheritance. Praise God. Joint heirs. It's seriously, it's from one extreme to the other. Bless the Lord. I love the way the Lord speaks to us. And in his amazing grace, where we, if we're convicted of our sin, we feel like we don't deserve a thing. And we go from there to him forgiving us in an instant, completely, and then ushering in to the very heart of his home, with a place at his table, with the garments of salvation, with ring on our finger, fatted calf killed, joy and celebration, as if we're a prince or a princess. Seriously, this is wonderful. Wonderful. This should cause songs of redemption to bubble up in our hearts on a daily basis. Glory to Him. Glory to Him who's rescued us. He's redeemed us. I can't get over it. You know what? I don't actually want to get over it. I want to revel in the wonder of it all my days. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We're forgiven. We've just been reminded this morning. That's just stunning news. The shine goes off it if we think we're something. I'm alright. I wasn't that bad. The shine goes off. But if you know who you are, but for the grace of God, this is the best thing you can ever hear. It's like pure water flowing from the very heart of God to those who are utterly excluded in our own merit. And you find you've been translated from one extreme to the other. And I think at times we're supposed to be lost for words, or as hymn writers sometimes put it, and they tend not to be lost for words, do they, the hymn writers? Lost in wonder, love and praise. If we've got it all sewn up and nice and neatly packaged, I think we've missed something of the scandal of grace. Haven't we? Seriously, and this is supposed to be shocking, it's scandalous what Christ has done. It's a scandal. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's way beyond fairness. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. He's treated us not as we deserve. Oh, wonderful. And if He touches us with healing this morning, perhaps, what a sheer grace. Sheer grace, it's just an overflow of His abundant generosity. Isn't it? If He reminds us of the depth of our forgiveness, wow, it's just His abundant generosity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sorry, I got a bit carried away there with the thought of reward. It's just staggering to think that it can be put in those terms, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done, and there is no partiality. This is revolutionary stuff. Basically, the word of God is penetrating the current context of that society and revolutionizing the way life is to be lived in the real nitty-gritty of life. And it's revolutionizing thinking. Right there. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, "And masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you have also a master in heaven." It's staggering that he says, give to them what's just and fair, when he's just said, I'm going to give them the reward of the inheritance. Which is like so beyond just and fair. He goes easy on the masters, actually. But in that context, that was pretty striking stuff. And you notice in this passage, listen, just let me remind you, perspective is key. You know, the Lord's wanting to transform our minds and affect the way we see things. Okay? Listen to this. In verse 18, there's an exhortation to wives. And then it says, as is fitting in the Lord. Okay? Look at verse 20. This is something else. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing, that's extraordinarily pleasing. In verse 22, it says, to the bondservants, it says that they're to do this in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Can you see? He keeps mentioning the lordship of Christ and how that is to affect the way we live in the nitty-gritty of life, in every context, not just as we gather together, but in life. Whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we are, this is to apply. Verse 23 says, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 24, he says, for you serve the Lord Christ. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Do you see? Sort of every other verse, or sometimes one verse after the other, he's getting their focus. They're in the circumstances, they're in the situations, in the real nitty-gritty of life, but he keeps lifting their eyes. You serve the Lord. He's your master. Do this as to the Lord and not to men. As to the Lord. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Do you see? It's so repetitive. So just drop your eye back into verse 17. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That is an amazing verse in and of itself, isn't it? And then he goes into what we've just read, the practical outworking of that in the home and in work life and in society in general. But this is some calling, whatever you do. In word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do. Let me read you a little quote. The works of monks and priests, however holy and arduous they be, do not differ one whit in the sight of God from the works of the rustic labourer in the field, or the woman going about her household tasks, but that all works are measured before God by faith alone. That was Luther. Interesting perspective. That was fairly revolutionary thinking. You know, we've suffered. I don't mean necessarily, I'm not meaning here, I'm talking church at large, in general, over the centuries. At times we've suffered from a stark divide between what we sometimes know as the clergy and the laity, for example. And we bring in these unnecessary separations. This word comes to us all as God's people. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that just applicable to some? Feel free to contribute here. No, thank you. That's what I was looking for. It's not. It's applicable to all, isn't it? Listen to this. This is Tyndale. Do you remember him? Not personally, but we've read about him. If our desire is to please God, listen carefully. This is revolutionary. If our desire is to please God, pouring water, washing dishes, cobbling shoes, preaching the word, it's all one. Hang on a minute. So he's applying what we've just read there and saying the way I wash the dishes, if I do, these days it's the dishwasher, the way I do that before the Lord Christ whom I serve is as important as how I conduct myself before you this morning. Wow, that's a challenge, isn't it? Because you lot don't see me loading the dishwasher that often. Here's another point. It's not just what we do. Yeah, it's how we do it, isn't it? Because I could do the dishwasher like this. Sorry to go on about the dishwasher. but I could do it like this. I'm doing the dishwasher, love. Sit down. Now, I've done the dishwasher. The job's been done. But that's completely different, isn't it, to how I could do it. How would I do it? That's come round in the week. He's got me, hasn't he? It's a poor illustration. Okay, another one. I teach English midweek, in a manner of speaking. I'll be honest with you, there are certain pressures that come to bear in the context of my weekly work that aren't quite the same type of pressures that I feel here. There are pressures here too, aren't there? Like leading a meeting. But there's different pressures. Now, if I'm applying this verse, whatever you do, Dave, whatever you do in word or deed, do all, this is the how, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks. So that speaks of how. Okay, I'm not quite sure how that would look with the dishwasher. But it is, we've heard, haven't we, the phrase, it's got to be an attitude of gratitude. Now that doesn't, it's not something that you kind of grit your teeth and try and be thankful. The secret is, we lift our eyes to see Him who we serve, who's loved us, who's forgiven us. And we cannot believe we even get to be here. I'm forgiven. Forgiven. I've been released from jail. So doing the dishwasher is a privilege. Do you see? Like if I was locked up, just doing the simple things is such a privilege. Now I know you're thinking, oh no, here he goes, he's going off on one. But it's true. Listen, a little perspective on giving thanks. Listen, you might think this is a bit sentimental. Sorry if it is. If you think it is, just ignore it. That's fine. If you own just one Bible, you are abundantly blessed. About a third of the world does not have access to even one. If you woke up this morning with a bit more health than illness, you are more blessed than a million who will not survive the week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people around the world. If you attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, or torture of death, you are more blessed than almost 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of this world. If you've money in the bank, in your wallet, spare change in a dish somewhere, you're in the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If your parents are still married and alive, you're really, really, really rare, even in the US. And so I could go on. There's loads more. A little perspective is helpful at times, isn't it? Giving thanks. It says, this is how we're to go about giving thanks. Giving thanks. The enemy's out to make us moaners and complainers. And I have to hold my hand up sometimes at the beginning of a holiday. I have a little bit to get off my chest. I don't really want to talk to people. Chan's very sociable. This is just when we go on holiday. I just want to lie down and be quiet. She's introducing me to the person by the pool. I've got to apply this, haven't I? Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all. Now, what does this in the name of the Lord Jesus mean? What does it mean? In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's something so phenomenal, you know. If you read again in John chapter 14, 16, 17. In fact, read the whole of John. It's great. But those chapters in particular, Jesus opens up this new life when he sends the Holy Spirit. And he actually says to his disciples, in that day, and I'm paraphrasing, he says essentially you get direct access to the Father. And you get to ask anything in my name. He says hitherto, or prior to this in modern parlance, you have asked nothing in my name. But you know what? I'm going back. Having finished the work which we've been celebrating again this morning, I'm going back to my Father in heaven, and my Father is going to pour out the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus says to his disciples, it's so wonderful, so wonderful. He says, we're going to come. He actually says, my Father and I are going to make our abode in you. And can you imagine the disciples? They love him so much. They want to hold on to him. They don't want him to go. He's so precious to them. And he's saying, let go. I'm going so that we can come and make our abode in you. And then he's basically saying, amongst many other things, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're in me. I'm in you. And the way you live is in my name. Can I read this to you? The name of Jesus is not merely his designation or identification, which of course it is, but his name is an expression of the sum total of his divine being. In essence, serving as, if you like, in quotes, a summary of all his attributes and characteristics, his name is thus equivalent to his person. Jesus' name is of no avail if detached from his character. And we know in our society, on the lips of many, and it grieves me every time, it's just used as a... I don't think sometimes even they're thinking that it's... I think it's just almost unconscious, but his name is used like a curse word or an expletive. Do you know, we're to live and do and speak and conduct ourselves by sheer grace in the name of Jesus. So when we pray for one another, it's not that we feel free to do so, and I know we do, but it's not that we have to somehow, to make it effective, tag on at the end, oh, in the name of Jesus. Actually, if you're his, when you pray from your heart with sincerity, as to the Lord and not to men, you are praying in the name of Jesus. And I've heard wonderful stories when we get all so complicated, but a brother just praying, oh, heal him. That was his prayer. Oh, heal him. And he was praying in the name of Jesus. And the person was healed. It wasn't through some kind of going through the appropriate, let's tag. No. In the name of Jesus is such a privilege. It's where we live. Glory to you, Lord. So when I teach English, the word is revealing to me that I'm to teach it in the name of Jesus. When Chan goes into those places to look after those kids and help them, you're doing it in the name of Jesus. When we help our neighbour out, we're doing it. Whether we say it or not, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. Do you see? He's granted us his name, his precious name. How we drive. How we do the dishes. Don't get all legalistic, please. I'm not saying that. But I'm trying to make the point that sometimes we elevate certain activities. Oh, look. He's a preacher man, or, you know. every single one of you in this body of Christ here at Longcroft, if you're His, you are just as significant as any other. Of inestimable worth in His sight, the apple of His eye. Everything you say and do is important to Him. Glory to His name. Let's not get strange distinctions just in our... It's worldly at times. We just... Glory to His name. How wonderful. I'm not going to get very far, am I? Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then, as I said in verse 23, it's repeated again. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting in verse 22. This is how we're not to. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. As to the Lord and not to men. As to the Lord and not to men. Who do you work for? Yeah. I know these, I hope you see them as simple answers, but they're so profound. They are so profound. Who do we work for? The Lord. It's interesting, that parable about the labourers in the vineyard, isn't it? And you know the ones who get hired at the beginning, and the landowner says, okay, for a day's labour, get a denarius, yeah? You remember that? And then, cut a long story short, at the end, some people get in, they just do a bit, like an hour. It's kind of in the cool of the day. And the landowner gives them a denarius. The ones who've been in the heat of the day, that's bang out of order, frankly. Are you in the union? And they'd missed it. The scandalous mathematics of grace. None of us deserve a thing. And we get on our high horse and say, we've put in a shift. Yeah? I've broken a sweat serving you, Lord. And we've lost something of the wonder of the fact that we even get to experience His grace and forgiveness at all. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. It's scandalous that any of us are saved. You know, all our service, this is, from what I understand, our whole life should just be an outworking of a response of head over heels gratitude and love. That's it. Lord, what can I do to please You? What pleases You, Lord? We can get so kind of this. I forget that actually we get the greatest privilege of all to be a blessing to His heart, to make Him smile, to give Him a drink. Oh, dear Jesus. He's wonderful, isn't He? He's so precious. And He's here among us again this morning. And it's in the context of this. Wives, submit to your husbands. If it's out of the context of what we're talking about, we get all twitchy in our society. Oh, submit. Oh. Actually, it's the greatest privilege. You know, in the Godhead, there's complete equality. But in the outworkings of God's great redemptive plan, there are differences. The Son willingly submits to the Father. We see that, don't we? Not my will be done, but Yours. Don't we see that? And in that outworking of submission, amazing. The redemptive plan of heaven is fulfilled and outworked. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So husbands, love your wives. Here's the bar. even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wow. If it's not by amazing grace, we're done for, aren't we? Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting. You know what? All of these instructions, this is about a community of God's people having the great privilege to manifest something of the glory and order of God in the earth. It's redemptive. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fathers, do not provoke your children. I'm applying this one specifically. It's amazing. I'm not going to go into details, but it is amazing. I've been really challenged. As I've opened myself up to the Word, there's been times where I've realised that it's incredible how little kids can sort of get you involved in a big debate down here. And I'm supposed to be the parent. I'm getting like sucked in. What do you mean? No. Jan gives me a knowing look. Back away, Dave. Back away. But you know how I'm to be as a father? I'm not to exasperate my children. That's what the Word says. I'm not to provoke them so that they lose heart. What a challenge. I've realised I looked, before we had kids, I looked at parenting sort of with rosy spectacles from the outside and sort of admired it as a concept. Oh Lord, you've got wonderful plans how you provide for us as a society. And then suddenly he's baptised me into the reality. Bless the Lord. And his Word is supposed to challenge us to the core, whatever you do. In word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. We are so utterly dependent on the amazing grace of God day by day, aren't we? Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there. We'll probably may have a couple more sessions than I think I need to deal with a few, few bits there. But the time has gone. If the Lord's spoken to us this morning, I don't mean just now as we've looked at these verses, but throughout the morning. If you've responded in faith to Him, remember as you reach out, He's reaching out to you. And is in fact wanting to fulfill His heart and His plan and His wonderful mind in and through us, His people. Glory to His name.